This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. This is Jamie Morris and Dennis Fithian. Matt the Hitman Mizler over at the Taj Mahal doing the ones and twos. And as I said on the way out, we were going to have a lawyer that represents some of the former players that are in the lawsuit for Dr. Robert Anderson suing the University of Michigan. Michael Wright of Wright and Schulte, a law firm out of Dayton, Ohio. Michael, good afternoon. I need to ask you this question. What are the players looking for? Are they looking for money? Are they looking for atonement? Are they looking for justification? What are these players looking for?
I think it's a combination of all of those. They want Michigan to acknowledge their failures. They want to make sure that there are process and procedures in place so that this won't happen to any future athletes, and also compensation for what they went through. So, yes, a combination of all of those things.
Hey, Michael, thanks for joining us. It's nice to talk with you and get some, some clarity from one side or the other and talk this out a little bit. It seems like those three things that you just mentioned, Michigan, they did have their own investigation that just concluded about a month ago. However you look at that, it was a pretty lengthy report. The president has admitted, I've seen some statements from him. So it does seem like we are into the final part here where it's the compensation. How would you deem that? How would you say that that's going? I mean, this is an ongoing process, right?
Well, I'm based on instructions from the federal court judge. We are currently in the mediation process, so I can't actually speak or give any details related to, how this process is going in terms of the compensation piece.
Again, you're listening to Michael Wright from Wright and Schulte, a law firm out of Dayton, Ohio, who represents a number of student athletes, former student athletes, for the Robert Anderson lawsuit with the University of Michigan. I guess, Michael, my thought is I'm going to ask the question that everybody wants to know. This is a sports radio show. What did Bo know? When did Bo know? If he knew, and how much did he know?
That's a very good question, and it seems like that's a very fluid question at this point. I mean, we do know that Bo had knowledge that this was going on. I don't know specifically at what point at this point we're still investigating as to what point he had actual knowledge, what actions he took when he found out what was going on, and what actions the university took based on Bo getting involved with the allegations from the athlete. So that's a good question. I mean, it's still fluid, but what we do know is that he had knowledge, and we believe that he passed that information on, and those whom he passed the information on to didn't do much of anything with that information. Now, whether or not he should have done more, I mean, at this point, as we're investigating, we're getting more and more information as to the depth of his knowledge. And so I can't necessarily answer that question in, great detail at this point. But all I can say is ongoing, and as we keep, kind of unpeeling this onion, it looks like, he had enough knowledge to be able to prevent this from occurring to a lot of the athletes that went through this sexual abuse.
Yeah, and as, Jamie mentioned, we're sports talk, and, there is one side because there's football players involved, or we have talked about it, and you're in the mediation process, which you already mentioned, and then Jamie talked specifically about Bo. And, we came down and a lot of people talk about the legacy part here. And when it does come down to that part, would it be the president? Would it be the regents? Like you're saying, like you talked to the players and they said that, you know, they want to have their voice heard and they want other things that are involved to be put into place here. But when it came down to Bo's legacy, you know, I thought at whenever this, I don't know, for lack of a better term, finish line, you know, happens with the mediation process, I thought it would be whatever you'd call the plaintiffs, victims, survivors, if they all were the ones that would say, hey, you know, here's the options when it comes down to Bo's legacy. Has there been any talk, like, would they, if they would have a voice on what would happen? I'm talking about a name. I'm talking about a statue, anything like that?
Right. There's been no talk of that at this point. And I think you're right. I think that, you know, it should be the players that were affected that should make that should have some weight in that decision being made. But, you know, at this point, there's not been any conversation related to the statute or any of those things. And, you know, I really, you know, I represent a lot of players, and a lot of these guys are conflicted because they loved him like a father, but yet they're very disappointed with him. They're very disappointed with the school because a lot of these players could have avoided being sexually assaulted by, you know, Anderson had something been done earlier with the information that they had. I mean, this was not too much of a secret, as you can, you know, read from the Wilmer Hale report. I mean, they knew that this was going on. They allegedly fired him, but just moved him to another area and allowed him to continue to sexually abuse athletes for years. So, you know, the guys I represent are very conflicted. Some of them are really pissed that, you know, the university didn't do anything earlier and allowed, you know, hundreds if not thousands of athletes to continually to be sexually assaulted by Anderson throughout the years when they had information very early on that could have prevented that.
You're listening to Michael Wright of Wright and Schulte, a law firm out of Dayton, Ohio. Michael, you said it started early on before Bo even got here. It started for Dr. Anderson at health services, and it continued to go through. I know a lot of people want to use Bo as the lightning rod, but you said it started earlier. So with that being said, the university is culpable for this, right?
Absolutely. They absolutely are. So, you know, whether or not, you know, if you're for Bo and thinks that, you know, he did everything that he was supposed to do, I mean, you can probably rest your head on that. If you're against him and saying he didn't do enough, I mean, you can probably do the same. So, I mean, there's definitely arguments on both sides. He, when he knew, he had the opportunity to, you know, stop this. But you're right, this happened prior to him getting there, and it's ultimately the university's responsibility. It's ultimately, you know, those in charge at the university that had knowledge that did nothing. So, you know, I believe a lot of guys that I represent are very torn as a result of, you know, having this, you know, conflict in thinking that, you know, they want to blame Bo and some don't. And I guess depending on, you know, which direction or which side you're on, there's an argument probably on either side.
Hey, Michael, I was reading a story about the Nassar situation up at Michigan State. And there were a couple things that made me think about what's going on with the University of Michigan. One was in that case that they said that there was a statute of limitations, but they were expanding that recently. And I think that is what happened. I mean, like, it was only, you know, I don't know, a year or two ago that, you know, this played out in East Lansing. But also part of that, when you talked about the university, it said that universities in the state of Michigan are immune from civil litigation, especially when it comes to sexual abuse. So, I mean, that seemed like it was spelled out. Now, MSU was culpable for damages here, so I don't know how they got around that. But how do you get around that when it seems pretty black and white that the universities are immune from civil litigation?
Well, that's a good point. There's a couple items. You know, we are lobbying also to get the statute of limitations expanded, such that all the Michigan players will be able to bring their action without having to worry about the statute of limitations. So that's in the process. Additionally, we filed cases under what's called Title IX. So Title IX, the statute of limitations only starts when you knew that the university had knowledge of the sexual abuse. So what that means is that as of, you know, 2 years ago when the first person came forward, that's when really the clock starts to tick for Title IX sexual abuse cases. So that is a way in which we can legally, expand, or not necessarily expand, but fight legally that statute of limitations argument. So all our guys have just recently been put on notice that it was the university that knew what occurred to them and that the university did not do anything to protect them. So at that point in time, that's when the statute starts to tick. So our guys are fine as it relates to the statute of limitations based on Title IX cases.
Well, you've done a very good job, because a lot of times when I listen to a lawyer, after I listen to him about 10 seconds, I don't understand it. But you put it in layman terms where even I could understand that. So I do appreciate that part from you. You know, two questions that get asked to me a lot, and I don't really have an answer for it. So I'd be interested to hear what you had to say about them. One is that, and you mentioned it already, Michigan had the university had fired Anderson, and that was in the report, but the athletic department hired him back. I don't understand why they would do that, especially if they had some knowledge, and especially, you know, if they were saying the reason that they fired him. That seems to be a very big point in this. The other part, and it comes down to both Don Canham and Bo Schembechler here, is that both of the athletic director and the football coach for years had kept Anderson as their own personal doctor. And if they were using the doctor as, you know, they felt like they could control him, or for whatever reason that, you know, that he was able to stay on for as long as he did, you know, why would they keep him on as their own personal doctor?
Yeah, those are all very good questions, and, you know, we're seeking the answers to. We want to know that. Why would they keep him on? Why would they move him after he was terminated? I mean, someone vetoed that, or someone overruled his being terminated, and, you know, through our investigation, we're still uncovering, you know, why that actually happened or what was the motive for that. So, you know, those are very good questions. And at this point in time, we don't necessarily have the exact answer for, you know, why he remained, you know, on payroll, why he was switched from one location to another. So those are very good questions. And I think that is, you know, that's what we're trying to find answers to, you know. That's exactly what we're trying to find answers to.
Again, you're listening to Michael Wright from Wright and Schulte, a law firm representing a number of former athletes, former football players, to be specific, against the lawsuit against the University of Michigan, Dr. Robert Anderson. Michael, and I'm just following up with Dennis. If in the Wilma Hell report, if Dr. Anderson was fired and then hit the boss of the guy that fired him said, we're not going to fire him. I mean, I'm kind of confused. Why did the athletic department, and maybe you don't know this and you guys are still researching this, why did the athletic department scoop him up and make him the doctor of the athletic department, exposing him to these young men?
That's a very good question. We need Michigan to answer that question. We need to know why that occurred. We need to know why that happened, which allowed for many, many, many more years athletes to be sexually assaulted. So you're right. That's the burning question that we have to figure out. And that's really why people are upset. That's why a lot of the players I represent are pissed, because Michigan had the information at hand to prevent the sexual assault from continuing on for years and years and years.
Again, you're listening to Michael Wright from Wright and Schulte, a law firm out of Dayton, Ohio. Michael, you said you're in negotiations with in mediation, not negotiations, but mediation with the university. Does that mean other players that are hearing your voice now can't join in on this lawsuit?
No. If there are other players out there that have a claim that saw Dr. Anderson that are not a part of this lawsuit, not part of this case, they need to get involved. No, it's not too late to sign up, and I would encourage everyone that is not represented, everyone that did experience what the other players experienced, to hire a lawyer and get involved, because that's the only way you hold the university accountable, and that's the only way you prevent this from happening, you know, in the future. So it's not too late to sign up. You know, I encourage the guys, if, you know, whoever's listening, if they want to speak with me about, you know, this case and get more details, then just definitely contact me, because it is not too late to sign up.
Yeah, Michael Wright is the lawyer we have with us right now here on the M Zone. So, Michael, you're representing some football players, but not everybody. You're not representing every, like we saw
wrestlers.
The wrestlers, we saw the former, saw the coach's son come out. So mm-hmm. everybody, there's a lot of different representation going on here. Is that correct? That seems a little confusing to me as I sit out here. How is that working through, you know, the courts? Can you give me some idea how that works? Like all of you guys are part of the plaintiffs, but you're fractured off into, you know, different lawyers. How does that work?
Well, I represent a couple hundred players. There are, I believe, approximately 800, and I represent a couple hundred players. I represent basketball players, football players, wrestlers. I represent, you know, the whole gamut of athletes that were seen by Dr. Anderson. Now, what this case is considered a mass tort. That means that each individual player has their own individual claim. So that means that each player will be compensated based on their own particular set of facts. You know, not everyone, some players saw Dr. Anderson, you know, three or four times. Some players saw Dr. Anderson 20 times. You know, some players were, you know, had different things that happened to them. You know, some players had, you know, digital penetration. Some players had, you know, ejaculation. Some players had, you know, oral stimulation. So there's a whole gamut of, you know, different facts. But each person is treated individually. So that means that you will have your own individual resolution. You won't have the same resolution as someone that had different facts and different number of occurrences with Dr. Anderson.
Michael,
I had another question. A final one that I was thinking about. Like earlier, you talked about this is in the process of mediation, and you couldn't talk about that when I asked you to say how it was going. But was there a thought here that, I don't know if it's called a gag order, for everybody to say, hey, let's just keep this here and let's talk about it? Because what has happened here since the WilmerHale report, we've had, you know, Jim Harbaugh, of course, said something. And then, you know, he had one of his former players. It was like he was almost like a defense attorney. This was playing out of the court of public opinion. And then, you know, right after that, we had the coach's son. And then we had what we had yesterday across the street. I mean, all of these things are going on. This is really swaying the public opinion. That has to affect what's going on every day in the court. No. And why wouldn't they, you know, could they put up a stop sign on that and say, hey, let's just, you know, get down to business here and let's work on what we can work on here between the walls.
Well, the instruction from the judge, there is a gag order in terms of speaking about details of mediation. So that's why I'm not addressing anything as it relates to mediation. In terms of the other items, I believe that that's public. I mean, people can discuss what occurred to them and when it occurred to them. In terms of the details of the mediation or the resolution process, we can't discuss that. But I think you're right. I think that, you know, this, you know, the ongoing process does not, you know, look good for Michigan in terms of, you know, putting the university in a bad light. So, you know, that's up to the university to resolve those issues. And again, I can't speak as it relates to the mediation, just that, you know, we have been in talks and that's all I'm allowed to say.
Well, I'll ask you one final one. I promise you here, Michael, if, you know, when it comes to Michigan, I think like they have insurance. If Michigan wanted to come to a conclusion here, is it not necessarily Michigan? Could it be the insurance company that's saying, hey, no, we want to, because, you know, this is what we think. It could be Michigan saying, hey, you know what? We have insurance. We want this to end. So while it might be on Michigan, it actually might be, I don't know if you call that a third party or just the insurance part, where they're the one that's going to have to, you know, write the check at the end.
Well, that's not a question for me. That's a question for the region. So I can't answer that question.
Fair enough.
Michael, this makes me – I'm going to ask you one little question. You know that the regents are meeting today, or maybe you don't know, but do you think this will be brought up in their meetings with all the players coming out and the coach's son coming out and everybody's talking about it? It's a buzz in Ann Arbor throughout the state of Michigan. And, you know, Bo Schembechler seems to be taking the hit more than anybody else. So he represents Michigan in this forum. So with that being said, do you think this is being talked about with the regents?
Well, all I can say is that if it's not, they're tone deaf. You know, so I can't speak on, you know, what they're discussing or, you know, what they are considering, but I'm sure they're listening to the radio. I'm sure they're watching the news, and I'm sure they believe that this is not helpful for the university. So, but, you know, I'm on this side of the fence and they're on the other side of the fence. So I can't really speak on, you know, what they are doing and what they are considering.
Michael, appreciate you coming on. Again, this was Michael Wright from Wright and Schulte, a law firm out of Dayton, Ohio. Appreciate it, Michael.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Look, we're going to talk about this. We're going to keep talking about this. We're going to bring on more guests. And I'm not trying to sway you in one way or the other. I just want to get the facts out there. And this was a way to start. We're going to do some more stuff next week. Keeping it alive. So please stay tuned. Again, my apologies to all the victims, my teammates, guys that came before me, guys that came after me. I believe in what you're saying, and hang in there. You're listening to the M Zone.
Before we go to break, do want to mention that we do have an ongoing contest from our friends from Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store. Part of this contest where you go to WTK.com/Father's Day and you can sign up for the possibility of winning a $100 gift card to Lewis Jewelers and a grand prize of $500. We will be drawing our winners coming up tomorrow afternoon, so you need to get in today, as you can enter once per day, so you can do it today and early tomorrow morning. Head to WTK.com/Father's Day to sign up. Sponsored by Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store. Proud sponsor of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the ticket.